You start with something from towards the beginning of the Sedra. It's been so long, I don't know if you remember who I am, but in any case. The Medrash says like this. When Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so it says they couldn't, and he said, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? They couldn't answer him. They couldn't respond. Kinivalu mipanav. They were astounded. They were overwhelmed. So the Medrash Rabbah says the following. Lo yochlu echov lano soso, Abba koin bardlo omar oilonu miyom hadin, oilonu miyom atochocha. They to us, when God is going to come and judge us and rebuke us, Bilam chochom shalagoyim, lo yochol ama betochachto shalasono. Bilam couldn't stand up to the rebuke that his donkey gave him. Hado d'chsiv haskein hiskanti lasos l'chako v'yomer lo. When Bilam hit the donkey, not knowing that a malach was standing in the way, and that's why the donkey was going off the path. So he hit the donkey three times, and then the Rabban Shalom let the donkey talk. And the donkey said, I'm the donkey you rode on for so long. Not only that, according to Chazal, we had intimate relations together. And did I deserve this? Right? Did I do something to you that deserved this? And Bilam had to admit, no. He couldn't stand up to the rebuke of his donkey. Yosef, Ketanim Shoshvatim, similarly, Yosef was the younger of all the Shvatim there, except for Binyamin. V'lo yecholim lamba v'tochachto, and the older brothers couldn't stand up to his rebuke either. Hado d'chsi, v'lo yochlu echov lano soso, kinivalu mifanav. V'chashiyav, so if that's the case, v'chashiyav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yochiyach kol echov v'echov l'fi mashehu, when God in the future will come and rebuke each and every one of us according to what we are, Shenemar ochicha ve'erecha le'necha, I'll rebuke you and I will size you up to your, in your own eyes, how much more so we won't be able to stand up to God's rebuke. That's the Medrash. There's some variations of this Medrash, which I'm going to tell you right now, and then we'll see the questions here. In the Yalkut, it says a little bit differently. It says, first of all, in the name of Shimon ben Elazar, not Abba Kohen Bardala. And it says that the rest of the Medrash is the same, except for the following words. That when God will come, the Yochach kol echad ve'echad l'fi ma'isav. In the Medrash Rabbah, it says l'fi mashehu. God will rebuke us according to what we are. And here it says according to what we did. In the Medrash Tanchuma, it even has a little bit different. It says the following. Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef Achichem, Miyad Porchem Nishmasim. When they heard those words, they mamish died. Their souls left them. V'lo Yochlu Lano, so they couldn't answer him. Amr Reb Yochanan, Vay Lanu Miyom Adin, Vay Lanu Miyom Utochacha. Uma Yosef, Kisha Omer Le'echav, Ani Yosef, Porchem Nishmasim, Kisha Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ledin, Dechsiv Bo, Mi Mechalkles, Yom Bo, Mi Hamed, Beheroso, Shukosav Bo, Le'irani, Odom V'chai. Alachas kam v'kam. If the brothers couldn't stand up when Yosef revealed himself to them, when God reveals himself to us and judges us, how much more so are we not going to be able to stand up to that? And they couldn't live. By God, it says you can't see the Rabban Shalom and continue to live. Umazet nivalu echov mipanov. And the second thing, and just like they were astounded in his presence, kishiyava kadosh baruch hu litboa elmon hamitzvus v'peisha shel Torah. How are we going to withstand when God comes to exact the disgrace of mitzvahs and the negligence of Torah? So we have three different versions over here. In one of them, it mentions this idea that when God comes to judge us and he reveals himself, the brothers died. How much more so are we going to not be able to stand up to that? And secondly, when God rebukes us, just like Bilam's donkey rebuked him and Yosef rebuked the Shvatim, the rebuke is going to contain what we did, what we are, and the disgrace and negligence of Torah and mitzvahs. Now, that's the Medrashim. What are the questions? So many Mepharshim speak about this, amongst them the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi has the two major questions here, and there are many different answers. Personally, I have many different ways of explaining this, but this is something new for this year. You're the first people to hear it. So we'll see if I'm going to say it anywhere else after this or not. In any case, the questions are the following. First of all, where was the rebuke? All he said was, "I'm Yosef ha'odo v'chai. I'm Yosef, my father's still alive." Where's the rebuke? Secondly, why did he have to ask if his father's still alive? It was obvious his father was still alive. First of all, he asked them right before that, and they told him the father's alive. Maybe he was afraid they lied to him, because they were afraid, whatever. But the truth is, Yehuda was willing to change places with Binyamin only because of how it's going to impact on the father. If the father was dead, there was no purpose for all of this. So it's obviously they believe the father's alive. So what would you have to ask? There are many, many answers to both of these questions. You can look in the Beis Halevi and see what he says. I'm going to tell you what I think. Based on something I saw in the name of Moshe Feinstein in last week's session. Last week, Edra, Yosef asked the brothers, when they think he's the second in command in Egypt, he said, you mentioned your old father, Hashalom le'avichem hazakein, right? Is your father at peace? Ha'odenu chai, he's still alive. But Moshe says, I mean, if he's not, if you know, what I'd ask if he's alive, if he knows he's at peace. If he's at peace, he's obviously alive, not dead, right? So why do you have to add that also? Is your father at peace? Is he still alive? At most, he should have asked it the other way. Is he alive and is he at peace? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein the following. Has your father found comfort? You mentioned that you had a brother that, you know, that's missing or whatever. Has your father found a way of being comforted from that? Is he at peace with himself? Now, there's two possibilities why he's at peace for himself. One is that he's resigned himself to the fact that he's never going to find that child, so he's just resigned himself to his fate. Or is he still alive with the feeling and the hope that he'll find that child, but still he feels at peace? Which is it? That's what he asked him. So if that's the case, when he asked Ha'odo Chai, he didn't mean, is he still alive? Is he still living with the same hope that he's going to find that child, or has he given up that hope? So then Rav Moshe says, well, in this week's Sedra, when he asks again, Ha'od Avichai, he already got the answer. He's not asking now, is he alive or not? He's asking him, has he made peace with himself, because he's resigned himself to never find the child, or he's made peace, but he still hopes to find it. So then, is he still alive? Is that yearning still alive in him? So I'd have to ask it again. He says, no, when he said it over here, it wasn't a question. It was a statement of happiness. I'm so happy my father is still alive, meaning that he hasn't given up hope for me. I'm Yosef, and I'm so happy that my father is still hoping to see me again, and he hasn't resigned himself and forgotten about me. That's what it is. So Rav Moshe says, this isn't a question. So that answers the question, why do you have to ask again? Says Rav Moshe, he's not asking anything. He's just exclaiming his happiness. Okay, based on that, I want to explain these Medrashim in the following way. L'Ashid Lavo, God is going to do two things. He's going to judge us, and he's also going to give us rebuke. And that is, I think, contained in the following mission in Pirkei Avos. V'lifnei mid ato osid litein din v'cheshbon. In the future, there's going to be a din, and there's going to be a cheshbon. The din is the judgment. You did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this aveira, you did this mitzvah. That's a din. The din is a judgment. And are you guilty? Are you innocent? Are you righteous? Are you wicked? Very much based on actions. What you do. But then there's a cheshbon. The cheshbon is what's called the rebuke. Meaning, okay, look, you did these aveiras. What brought you to do them? What does it show about you, who you are? Not just what you did. Right? What does it show about your essence? what were the reasons why, which sometimes the reasons that brought you to the Avera, worse than the Avera itself, which we'll see. So it's not enough that God's going to judge us just on the actions that we did. He's also going to look beyond that and rebuke us. Why did you do those actions? What brought you to do it? What does it say about you? Not just about what you did. That's why the Midrashim say all these different things. When God comes to rebuke us for our actions, and then it says rebuke you for what you are, and then it says for the disgrace pisha shel Torah, the negligence of turning Torah. That we'll get to in a second. When Yosef said, "I'm Yosef," okay, that was like the judgment. Why? Because until now, they felt vindicated with what they did, right? In other words, until now, they convinced themselves that they had a right to do what they did in selling Yosef. Not only were they not guilty in it, but they were very magnanimous, because really they should have killed him. He deserved to die. They sat as a Beis Din, and they decided that he is a pursuer. He's trying to get Yaakov to curse them. That's why he's telling these stories about him. And he wants to take over, and he wants to usurp all of everything about Klal Yisrael and push them out of the picture. He is a national threat to national security of his fledgling nation, and he's a threat to each and one of them, because eventually he's going to get Yaakov to curse them, and they're going to lose this world and the next world. So he's a pursuer. They have a right to kill him. Somebody comes to kill you, right? Especially wants to kill you spiritually and physically, get rid of him. But they were very nice, and they didn't kill him. They just sold him. And they felt really okay with it. Okay. But now, Yosef put them in a position where he could have, if he wanted to, get rid of them without any problem. He framed them into being considered like spies, gone off him. Right? He wanted to rule over them, he could have made them his slaves, or he could have just killed them and taken over. So when he said, "Ani Yosef," and he had put them into this situation where they see clearly that what they thought was wrong, that was the din. That in itself paskened the Shaila. They always thought they were vindicated. Now it's clear that they were wrong, that he doesn't want to take over, he doesn't want to make them his slaves. He could have done all those things right now. He didn't do any of that. He revealed himself to them, "I'm your brother, I'm not going to make you slaves, I'm not going to kill you." So that was the din. What they did was wrong. They saw clearly. When, as soon as he said, "Ani Yosef," and they understood what predicament they were in, that he put them into, and what he could do if he wanted to and he doesn't want to, then they were wrong. That was the din. Okay. But then Yosef said, "You know what? After all these years that I suffered, I had a lot of things happen to me, right, since Parshas Vayeshev. And what was on his mind? Not, how can you do this? Why did you do this? Time is this, that." You know what there was a major point on his mind? "Baruch Hashem, my father's still okay." That's what bothered him. After all these years, right, he had went through so much torment. But that was on his mind. What he was so happy about is, my father's still alive. Not only is he alive, but he's still, that relationship isn't broken. Okay? That was the tochacha, meaning the following. Okay. You decided that this is what you have to do, and you have to sell Yosef, and you could kill him or whatever. But when you saw how much Yosef valued the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, his relationship with his father, and after all these years, that still remained the major thing, what a bizarre was from you. Didn't you take that in consideration? You didn't even think about your father. When you made all these decisions of what to do to me, but how is it going to affect your father? If we would have had that same tremendous chashivas, we would have felt that honoring our father is so important. Here, Yosef, out of all the things that happened, this is what's the major thing in his life. His father's welfare. If we had felt like that, then maybe we wouldn't have come to that decision. Maybe if that was a major factor, how it's going to affect Yaakov, we wouldn't have done what we did. We'd have found some other way. Look what torment we put our father to. That was the tochacha. It's not enough just we made a mistake, we did something bad to Yosef. But it's a bizayon to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. How come we didn't value that mitzvah enough to make that a factor in making our decision? That was like We didn't care. We didn't think about that. That was just an afterthought. How are we going to get out of this with Yaakov? So we'll tell him that Yosef was killed by a wild animal. Let him come to that conclusion. But if they had valued that mitzvah properly, that would have been a deciding factor in what they would have done to Yosef. But it wasn't even, it was just an afterthought. That was the pisha and the elbona, the disgrace of the mitzvah. Keep it out. It wasn't just that you had reason to do what you did with Yosef. It's because you totally neglected and downplayed the importance of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. And they were brought to that realization because of Yosef's tremendous feeling of Kibbutz Av, which was on top of all the other things that happened to him. This is what was on his mind. How happy I am that my father still has hope for me, he's still alive or whatever. That's when they saw that they saw their face lit up. Right? He could have had a million things that he could have said to them. And this bothered him. That what was on his mind, what was paramount, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. When they saw that simcha on his face, it made them feel very, very guilty for disgracing and belittling that mitzvah. That was the tochacha. Same thing. So the din is they chose something, they made a mistake, right, and they chose to do something wrong. So that's a din. But what was behind that? You know what contributed to that decision? The fact that they didn't appreciate the mitzvah kibbutz av. That was behind the decision in itself was wrong. But what brought it about? Had they valued that mitzvah enough, then maybe they would have come to a different decision. So that's the din and the tochacha, and it's not just what you did, it's who you are and what brought you to do it, which perhaps was a belittling of the importance of Torah and the importance of mitzvahs. By Bilam was the same thing. The fact that he hit the animal, if he would have known there's an angel standing in the way, he would have realized not the animal's fault. He wouldn't have hit it. That's the din. The din was that animal didn't deserve to be hit. But the animal gave him more tochacha. Okay, let's say I did deserve to be hit. Let's say there was no angel, right? But this is what I deserve. All the years that I served you in more than one way, right? And this is what I deserve? So I once went off the road. For that you hit me? That means you didn't appreciate, you don't have hakaras hatov, you have no appreciation of the relationship we had. That's what the donkey's telling you. Forget about the fact that you hit me wrongly right now. That's an isolated thing. That's just a din. But what's behind it? What's behind it is you don't even appreciate who I am. You don't appreciate what has benefited you all these years. So even let's assume that you were right in hitting me. But that's what I deserve? That's the tochacha. The tochacha is beyond the din. Okay, you made a mistake, you hit me. You did something wrong. But look what brought you to bring that wrong. Had you had enough hakar satov, if you had enough gratitude for and felt, you know, some kind of gratitude for all the years that we've been together, right, then you would never come to hit me. So it's not just a sign of what you did wrong at that time. You made a bad call. What brought you to do it shows there's something wrong with you altogether. You were mevazeh the mitzvah of hakar satov. That's the idea. There's something beyond it, which is even more than just a din. That's the tochacha. And, So that's the idea. That's why after the din, there'll still be a tochacha. With that, so that's the idea. So it says that if the brothers couldn't stand up to the din and the tochacha of Yosef, how much are we not going to stand up to the din when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes? And we see from him how important the mitzvahs are, whatever. A lot of times the things that we did, they were bad choices. They were wrong. But a lot of them were brought about because we didn't appreciate enough the mitzvahs and the Torah. And because of that, we made these bad decisions. Had we appreciated the Torah and the mitzvahs more, then we would never have given into our Yetzirah. There's one thing to give into Yetzirah, but there's another thing that it's not just you gave into Yetzirah, but you gave into Yetzirah because you didn't appreciate the other side. We'll give you an example in a second. With this, I want to explain something that has to do with Asar B'Teves, which is coming up this coming week. The Gemara says like this, concerning the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which Asar B'Teves deals with the first Beis HaMikdash, when they made the siege around Yerushalayim, the Babylonians. So the Gemara says in the Nedarim, this question was asked to the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, even the Malachi Asharis. Nobody can answer the question. Al-Meh of the Ha'aretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Nobody could answer the question. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came and answered it, Al-Ozvam is Torah Si. They forsook my Torah. On the surface, seems pretty, if you'd ask me, I'd tell you it's because of Ozvam Torah Si. They did terrible Averis, so they what's it called? They forsook the Torah, and that's why the land was destroyed. Only God knew that. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean that they forsook the Torah. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. It says that generation was over on Gili Arayah, Shvichas Dom, and Avodah Zorah. Three major sins. For that, the land wasn't destroyed. But you know why it wasn't destroyed? Because they didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. Doesn't make any sense. And only God figured that out. Nobody else could figure it out. So let's say the following. That the question was like this. People do something wrong, so punish them. Destroy them. Why did the land have to be destroyed? Why did they have to go into Golus? Why did the land have to be abandoned? Why did the land have to be what's it called, desolate? What did the land do? It's their sin, so punish them. Why the land? That was the question, and nobody can answer that. They want to punish them for their sins. But the answer is because what brought them to Gili Arayah, Shvichas Dom, and Avodah Zorah was the Yetzer Hara. They had a taiva for Gili Arayah, for Avodah Zorah in those times, right? They hated each other, so they killed each other, whatever. Okay. But the Rabban Shem said there's something more here than just taiva and Yetzer Hara, because there could have been something that counteracted that. Yeah, you have a desire to do things wrong, and you made the wrong choices. That's the din. But what's behind it? What behind it is, Shelo Berchu Batorah Tchila means they weren't Machsha the Torah. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, the Iran brings down Rabbeinu Yonah, that breaking a brach on the Torah shows that you consider it important. It's an important thing. And you're willing to put effort into it. What's the brach on Torah? La'asok b'divrei Torah. You're willing to put tremendous effort into learning Torah because it's important enough. And not only that, Barevna Hashem Okeinu, it's Torah is something so enjoyable and so important. If you be machshed it enough to make a bracha, it's you accept it, you did it. And when there was the Yetzer Hara, so you gave it up. But if you would have appreciated the Torah and given importance and felt that this is your simcha and you're willing to put effort into it, then you may have been able to withstand the taivas of Gili Arayah, Shvichas Dom, and Avodah Zorah. So what was the problem? The problem was you didn't appreciate what you had. Because you didn't appreciate, it was easy to give it up. That was behind it. Memela, that's why it says, we go into Golus for two things. One is, Tachas Hashelo Avadato Hashem Kecho B'Simcha V'Tuv Leva. You didn't serve God with tremendous joy and a good heart. And the second one is because you didn't put effort into Torah. They don't seem to go together. Joy and a good heart and effort. But that's the idea. If you really appreciate something and it gives you tremendous simcha to know that you're doing something worthwhile, then you're willing to put effort into it. It's worth it. But if you don't appreciate it and you don't feel it's worthwhile, then why put effort into something that's not worthwhile? So their sin wasn't just that they gave into the Yetzer Hara and they did these terrible sins. The underlying sin was they didn't appreciate what Torah is. Maybe it was easy to give into the Yetzer Hara. What are we giving up? Had they appreciated the Torah, then maybe they wouldn't have given in to the Yetzer Hara. It would have been worth overcoming it because Torah is worth so much. But they didn't appreciate the Torah. That's the idea. Says the Chafetz Chaim that when we don't appreciate what we have, then the way to get us to appreciate it is to have it either threatened to be taken away or actually taken away. When you don't have it, then you appreciate it. Unfortunately, the way of the world is people appreciate their parents when they're no longer here. When you have your parents, you usually don't appreciate them as much as when they're no longer here. Then you say, kick yourself. How come I didn't appreciate them or whatever? But that's the nature of people. So So therefore, that's Almel of the. Why did God have to take away the land? Punish them. Because the punishment would have just been for the actions they did. But there was something more than that. There was an idea that they didn't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is there for the sake of the Torah. This is a place where you can learn Torah the best way. Right? This is where the Torah is complete. Ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. If they had appreciated what Eretz Yisrael represented and the importance of Torah based on that, and the importance of mitzvahs, this is the place where you can do all the mitzvahs. But they didn't. They didn't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Because they didn't appreciate it. The Rabban Shalom's punishments aren't just to punish us. They're to correct the situation. So it wasn't enough just to punish us. He had to take away Eretz Yisrael and make it desolate so we would have that appreciation. When you don't have it, you want it. And then you appreciate it. That's the idea. That when the Rabban Shalom will reveal himself and he'll show what the Kedusha Tar is, how beautiful it is, then we'll kick ourselves and say, how can we not appreciate it? That's the, we'll be clear what we did right and what wrong. The truth will be obvious. So we'll know what's right and what's wrong. That's the din. But then we'll realize that a lot of the times we gave into the Yetzer Hara wasn't so much because the Yetzer Hara overpowered us. It's because it didn't have to overpower us too much because we had nothing to lose. We had nothing to give up. We weren't giving up anything because we didn't appreciate what a Torah way of life is and what Torah learning is or whatever. So when the Yetzer Hara came, it was easy to give in. That's the idea. Asara B'Teves, right, is the time that the Babylonians came and made a siege around Yerushalayim. Asara B'Teves is the 10th day of the 10th month. The number 10 always represents Kedusha, holiness. 10th of Tishrei is Yom Kippur. Right? The 10th of the 10th is a symbol of real holiness. Asiri Kodesh, the 10th, is always holy. One of the reasons being that 10 is the idea of taking many things and uniting them to one unit. After 1, every number is separate. It's just separate things. 10 takes all those separate things and unites them into one unit of 10s. That's how it's written, one unit of tens and zero ones. So it's the unity of many things. Starts with the unity of one thing, that's God. Then God created a lot of things in the world. The purpose is to unite them all and see that they're all emanations from God and that they're all made to serve God. They have one common purpose. That's the number 10. That's why the number 10 is a number of holiness. It's a number of unity. And unity under the Rabban Shalom is what holiness is all about. And in Hebrew, it's also, when you reach Asara, it's a unit. Now you build on that. Achadesrei, Shteimesrei. You don't have a new number after that. It's a 10 plus 1, 10 plus 2. The 10 remains a unit. So, God said like this, you're sinning terrible sins, but I see beyond that. It's not just that you can't control your Yetzer Hara. There's no reason why you shouldn't, because you don't see any benefit in doing what's right. You don't appreciate what the right is. It's not that the wrong is such a temptation. It's that there's no reason, there's nothing on the other side. You don't really appreciate what Torah is all about. And Eretz Yisrael represents the place where that all those milas of Torah become actualized. So therefore, the Rabban Shalom said, I'm going to bring Goyim, and they're going to want Eretz Yisrael, which you don't want. You don't want what Eretz Yisrael represents. They're going to want it. And they're going to threaten to take it away from you by making a siege. And maybe that will make you want it and appreciate it. So, and that's the, what's it called? Whenever Goyim want what we don't want, it's a tremendous condemnation of us. We find that when Esav cried, when he didn't get the brachas, so it says, one tear fell from his right eye, one tear from his left eye, and another tear welled up in his eyes and never fell. So the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the first tear. The second Beis HaMikdash, the second tear, and had that third tear fallen, there never would have been the third Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Medrash says. What's the idea? Esav cried for those blessings that later in history we wouldn't appreciate, and we just throw away. When we don't appreciate the blessings and Esav appreciates them, it's a condemnation of the Jewish people. We find that in another place also. It says that the city of Vermaisa was destroyed twice in Crusades. So the Rabbi Yeshua Folk, the Sma, is quoted in one of the history books of one of the early Achronim, the Sheiris Yisrael. He says that he has a Kabbalah from Rabbi Yeshua Folk, the Sma, of why Vermeisa specifically was destroyed twice in two different crusades. He says when Ezra went to build the second Beis HaMikdash, he wrote letters to all the communities that existed in Gaulis to come back to Eretz Yisrael and help him build the second Beis HaMikdash. And the city of Vermeisa wrote him back a letter, and they said the following, Shalom Alecha Ezra Sofer. We're very happy to hear that you're going back to Eretz Yisrael and you're building the Beis HaMikdash. But Baruch Hashem, we're very happy here in Vermeisa with our little Yerushalayim and our little Beis HaMikdash. And we have a beautiful community, and we wish you well, and, you know, we'll buy bonds, and we'll, you know, send you donations, but we'll stay here in our little Yerushalayim and our little Beis HaMikdash. You'll be happy with the big Yerushalayim and the big Beis HaMikdash. Because they refused to come back to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash, that's why this later on in history, thousands of years later, the Vermeisa was destroyed in the Crusades. So he's bothering me. Why wait 1,000 years? Why didn't they punish those people then? Why wait 1,000 years? The answer is, what were the Crusades? The Crusades were to redeem Eretz Yisrael, to redeem the Holy Land from the infidel Muslims. Muslims had taken over, and the Christians decided they wanted to redeem the Holy Land. So the Pope called for these Crusades. In the end, they redeemed more of their own tithes or whatever, killed Jews more than they did in Europe, more than they did in Eretz Yisrael, anybody, and became just a mob of murderers and thieves. But this was what was supposedly, when Goyim are willing to leave their homes and go and redeem, right, with putting their lives in danger, Eretz Yisrael, then that's a tremendous condemnation of Jews who weren't interested in going to Eretz Yisrael, who didn't appreciate it at all. That's why I waited till the Crusades. That's when the condemnation was. It's something to think about today, too, when there are Muslims who are willing to blow themselves to smithereens because they want this land so badly. What can you say about, you know, Jews who don't want it, who aren't interested? Somebody once asked me, what about today, right, with the Muslims or whatever? I said, look, I can tell you about history. I can't tell you today. You need a Navi. And then 2 days after this person asked me a question, after I said this at a convention, I saw in the newspaper that the graves in Vermeisa, Jewish graves, were desecrated. There are no more Jews in Worms in Vermeisa. But when Goyim, Muslims, right, are killing themselves for the sake of Eretz Israel because they want Israel, right, then it's a condemnation of Jews who didn't want it. And again, Vermeisa, but there's no more Jews to get in Vermeisa, so the graves are desecrated there. In any case, so that is the idea of Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, therefore, is the foundation of all the Churbanos that came, is because we didn't appreciate what we have. It's not so much the Averas we did. The Averas we did, we could have controlled had we appreciated what not doing them would have been. But we didn't see we're losing anything. So why not do it? And therefore, what was the beginning? Let Jews see how much Goyim want this land. And let it be threatened to be taken away. Put the two together. Maybe we'll decide that maybe we should want the land. But it didn't work. And from that came all the other korbanos. That's why it says that if Asar B'Teves could fall on Shabbos, it can't. But if it could, according to the calendar, you'd have to fast on Shabbos. It's the only fast day except for Yom Kippur. Because it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Because why? Because that's the thing. The day, the 10th of the 10th, that's what makes it important. Same thing with Yom Kippur, the 10th. That holiness makes it a holy day. You can't push it off. It has to be, even on Shabbos. Thinking that, therefore, today we have a phenomenon of two phenomenons in the in the religious world. One in the Dati Leumi world, the more Zionistic world, and then the Haredi world. And there's a lot of similarity between them. We have the boys of the hills, right, who are defending all these illegal outposts, you know, in Yehuda v'Shomron, and attacking the army and throwing stones at soldiers and making a revolt, civil war almost. That's one thing, one kind of kanos. And then we have Haredi people who are also making a revolt, mostly youngsters throwing rocks and spitting at women and all in the name of, you know, tznius and kedusha and whatever. Okay, both of them are totally misguided, and not only aren't doing something positive and making a kiddush Hashem, they're making a chilul Hashem. Both of them. Where does it come from? So you could say that, it comes from the fact that they're misguided. They made a bad choice. You know, they think they're doing something good, and really they're doing something bad. It's because they're so concerned about tznius, or so concerned about Eretz Yisrael, that, you know, they just went overboard. But there's something beyond that. And that is, if these people, these youngsters, would have a real appreciation of what Torah and mitzvahs are, and they'd be able to put their energies into keeping mitzvahs, right, for the sake of mitzvahs, and doing things, avodas Hashem, and they're davening, and they're, right, and they really appreciate it, then making a decision, which they know brings the chilul Hashem, makes other Jews hate them, makes goyim hate us, right? The way they're talking about, we're like Iran, when it comes to the, or we're what's it called, we're a bunch of hooligans who are the terrorists who are causing all the problem in the Middle East. Not the Hamas who's killing innocent people. It's these kids throwing rocks. They're the ones who are, right? So distorted, but that's what it leads to. If they really had an appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs and avodas Hashem and kiddush Hashem, then they wouldn't have made these decisions. They would realize this is not furthering the cause. But they don't have that excitement in mitzvahs. So you have to look for it somewhere else. So then the excitement is, we need to, you know, something that we can show who we are. We're on top over here. And that substitutes. That's why by Hanukkah, it says many things. It says that the Rabbanu Shalom put the weak and the strong in the hands of the weak, and the few, or the many in the hands of the few. But it also says, Tmeim b'yad tahorim, Rishoyim b'yad tzadikim, Zeidim b'yad oskei sorasecha. Meaning that the Chashmonoim made their fight only because they were few and weak. And they wanted to be on top, and it was a way to show who's the boss over here. God wouldn't help them. But because what motivated them was real Kedusha and Tahara and Tzidkas and Eisek HaTorah, that's what was behind it. Therefore, God helped them. Same thing over here. If you could say that what's motivating them is this tremendous desire for Torah mitzvahs, then why aren't they fighting for other things? Why dafka these things? Because these things are things that show our control. We're going to tell people that these women are going to do it the way we're going to. We're in control. So it's more, had they really appreciated Torah mitzvahs, then they would have thought 1,000 times before you do something that's a dishonor to the Rabbanu Shalom. But that's not what's driving them. Because if that was driving them, they wouldn't do it. It's because they don't have an appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs, so they channel their energies in things that make them feel good, but on the other hand, totally misrepresent Torah and mitzvahs to the world and make a tremendous chilul Hashem. So that is what Asara B'Teves represents. And the Mirtz Hashem, if we understand this tochacha, if we give it to ourselves now, we don't have to wait till God gives it to us, then later on, God won't have anything to have any tainus on us. So it's not only make the right choices, but it's look in to see what's moving you. Do you really appreciate this good side? And even so, you're making bad choices? That's just a din. But if the reason you're making bad choices is because you don't really appreciate the other side, you don't really appreciate what you have, then that's a much worse sin, because it involves not only making the wrong choice, the din, it also involves the cheshbon, the tochacha of what comes from behind it. Just like the brothers realized that part of the reason they made the wrong choice is because they didn't really appreciate the mitzvah kibbutz. Not so much because they made a bad choice about Yosef, is because they didn't consider bechlal, how important it was, how it affects the father. That's the idea.